Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, if you're looking to have some fun in the Denver area this week, AEG Presents is thrilled to announce Bert Kreischer with Mark Norman live at Red Rocks Amphitheater September 8th, Wednesday. It's coming up very soon right here in this year of 2021, right around the corner. You got to check these guys out. They're absolutely hilarious. Red Rocks is the best venue in the world. It's a match made in heaven. If you haven't heard of him before, do a quick Google search, a little YouTube search for Bert Kreischer. He's absolutely hilarious. You've probably seen him on number of shows or The Machine on Showtime, Comfortably Dumb on Comedy Central, his podcast, Bertcast, and Open Tabs. Truly, truly a funny individual on his way up. You're out for some laughs this Wednesday, September 8th. Download the Red Rocks app today. Grab your tickets to see Bert Kreischer with Mark Norman on September 8th. Again, that Red Rocks app, super useful for buying all your concerts or show tickets. Probably have that thing already installed on your phone, but if you don't yet, get it in there. Come hang out at Red Rocks on September 8th for some laughs with Bert Kreischer and Mark Norman. All ages are welcome. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use your promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And joining us, as has become our weekly custom, is the voice of the Colorado Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet and the host of the Drew Goodman podcast. It's Drew Goodman.
What's happening, fellas? How we doing?
Like, we need a curtain for you to walk through and like some music to like some 70s or 80s game show.
Yeah, I need all of that and more. You know, that intro kind of reminds me a little bit. I'm a big PTI fan, pardon the interruption. And when Frank fills in for either Kornheiser or Wilbon, you know, they always give the smattering of applause. So I felt the love.
There you go. PTI always had one of my favorite sign-offs. I always loved him, Kornheiser. It was so subtle, and I felt like it went by people's ears so often. But I always loved at the end of every show when Tony Kornheiser would say, we'll try to do better next time. I always loved it. That was a part of it. He would say, that's our show. We'll try to do better next time.
We'll try to be better tomorrow. And, and we'll bond, see you tomorrow, knuckleheads. Hey, listen, their chemistry is second to none. It's why they've been one of the longest running shows on Broadway. And and tremendously successful. So yeah, I still listen to them on a regular basis.
And here we've got one of the most successful shows off Broadway.
Off Broadway.
Yeah, we got the DNVR Rockies podcast and the Drew Goodman podcast, but we're working our way up the ladder, yeah. I think.
Well, being you're from Jersey, I'm a native New Yorker, so I will say that you guys are off Broadway, and I'm off Broadway.
You're technically in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Yeah. I'm in Teaneck, exactly. Yeah, I'm by the Paramus Mall.
But you did have Colorado Kid. Now, full disclosure, I haven't listened yet to this week's episode. So why don't you just give us a little plug? I've been trying to sell a house the last couple of days. Still trying to sell this thing. But yeah, David Bodie, man, great story from this kid. And anyone who cares about Colorado sports is going to want to hear this one, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I think we're all partial. I can speak for you guys in this. This is... Yeah, I've been out here 36 years, so I'm a New Yorker, but I'm a Coloradan, and I think you guys feel that way. Drew, you're from here, so
easier path for me. Yeah.
Easier path, Western Slope to Boulder, but I care a lot about our state in every aspect, and I take particular pride, again, as I'm sure you guys do, when we turn out baseball players in particular, any athletes or anybody who does anything noteworthy. But, you know, in baseball in particular, because I have boys that are playing college ball and all that kind of stuff. So I pay particular attention to it. And David Bodie is one of the now many guys that are in the big leagues from our state. And his path is a fascinating one. And it is, I don't want to say it's the norm because it's really pretty wild, but there are more guys in the big leagues who weren't, you know, the first pick in the draft or, you know, a first round pick or somebody that was anointed pretty early as, hey, this guy can't miss and he's going to have a shot at playing in the big leagues. So I think you'll enjoy that story. He's a great kid. He's a humble kid. He's he's carrying the torch well. As are many now for the state of Colorado, and he has an interesting perspective because he was with the Cubs recently in their glory years, and now he looks around and he's like one of the senior citizens.
Where did everybody go?
Yeah, where did everybody go? But I think you'll really enjoy his path to the big leagues, man, because he literally went from looking like he was out of the game before the game even started after high school to, in a really quick, short amount of time, being a professional, and not that long after being in the big leagues, and not that long after getting a nice payday. It's really a fascinating story.
Yeah, you really got him to open up about that, because I didn't know to the extent that it was. I mean, we know there are some guys like a Sam Hilliard for the Rockies, for example, who maybe took a slightly unorthodox route, but ultimately played ball at a Division I college, bet on himself. And, for the most part, it worked out. He's still making his way. But Bodie's journey, I think, was even more off the beaten path and was, as you said, he was, almost days away from not getting a phone call or getting the wrong phone call. And there never would have been a David Bodie. So that was cool hearing, the details of that. And also, who within the Cubs organization believed in him along the way, because just because you get drafted doesn't mean anything. We know that with a long list of, thousands of players get drafted every year, and yet there's maybe a couple hundred that even get to make their debut.
Yeah, Patrick, I'm reminded of so many stories along the way. I had Clint Barmas on, not too long ago, and the story is the same even for Sully, Corey Sullivan, for Ryan Spielborg, certainly for Jeff Houston. These guys that weren't first round picks. I mean, in the case of Huey, he was an undrafted free agent. But, these guys were in the seventh, eighth round, like Spilly and Sully, and going back to Clint Barmas when he came out of Indiana State, I think he was an eighth round pick, somewhere right around there. I mean, that's not a slam the gavel down. Oh, you're going to get to the big leagues because we have so much invested in you financially. That's not the case. So you typically either have to really perform well. I mean, you have to perform well to get there. But you also, a lot of times, need a godfather, somebody who who has enough clout in the organization on the player development side to say, no, I know he's only hitting 235, but I'm telling you, there's something special about this guy. I think he's going to be able to help us one day. Hang in there. And you heard it, Patrick, and you'll hear it true when you listen. You know, with David Bodie, it's a great story. He was within an eyelash of getting released. This is after the great story to even be a professional. Was within an eyelash of being released, and somebody who had enough clout said, no, 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 we're not getting rid of this guy. And now he's been a nice kid. You know, he's not a star, but he's a nice contributor, and he's a very versatile guy, and he's got a lot of toughness, and he's liked by that organization.
Yeah. All right. So definite great story. I'm going to go and listen. I'm going to do what everybody else should do, because I'm going to go and listen to it as soon as we're done here. You're probably listening to this on a podcast app right now where you can get the Drew Goodman podcast. So as soon as you're done with the show, just like I am, you should go and get a listen to that.
And again, this is your guys' show, but you know me, I bounce around. I have my opinions. One of the other things I talked about, I got on my soapbox about, was the booing. And I know you guys spent some time talking about that, you know, last week with the Mets, and maybe it's spurred them on, because I don't think they've lost since the apologies, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought that was interesting, and I did want to, you know, if I may, just kick it around a moment with you guys. You know, you heard me, Patrick, and you've heard me before, both you guys, talk about, I'm not a big boo guy, because I have such great respect for every player in the big leagues. But it's not just that. It goes back to, and I allude to this, you know, Teddy Roosevelt's, great and impactful speech. I think it was in 1910 at the Sorbonne in Paris, talking about the man in the arena. And if you're not familiar with the man in the arena speech, I won't regurgitate it to you. But the message basically is, it is about the people that are in the arena competing, not the timid souls, as he wrote, that know neither victory or defeat, because they're not in the conflict. They don't have the courage or the talent to be in the conflict. And so it always bothers me when, yeah, we're all upset. Listen, we were chatting a few minutes ago about Colorado State football, and I pull hard for the Buffs, and I pull hard for the Rams. I got my start in Fort Collins doing college football and college basketball up there. I really pull hard for those guys. And it's tremendously disappointing seeing that they have these beautiful new facilities and they haven't performed well. And so I get that, and I'm disappointed. But to boo the participants, I mean, they're trying their ass off. So that whole thing in New York, bad play by the players, because you can't go back at the fans. But I'm never big on booing.
Yeah, we had a similar, you know, conversation at the beginning of the week, that it's fine for the players to do the thumbs down gesture to each other, like for them to have this little secret gesture that it means something to them. But as soon as you say, oh, by the way, everybody in here in the stadium, it's actually about you guys, and we're not happy with you. That's where you cross that line. And so, yeah, the bad look, a couple bad looks by this organization, and a couple more even as we go on. And
yeah, they're like a bad soap opera right now. Am I right, Drew? I mean, they're bad soap opera. Unbelievable.
Someone, I have to resist the temptation to do this on Twitter because the things are in very different categories. But every once in a while, someone who's super frustrated at the Rockies will tell me they're one of the worst run teams in baseball, or the worst run team. And I got the worst run team in American sports the other day. And I'd just been reading all this stuff about the New York Mets. And I didn't know how to reply to this person in any kind of earnest way that wasn't, are you out of your mind? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I get the Rockies have been frustratingly not as competitive as we would all like them to be. But that is not the same as this circus of nonsense, where you've got fans chanting for the manager to get fired. You've got team presidents calling meetings. You've got a GM with the DUI situation now. It's all, before we even get back to Steve Cohen and his issues with, having bad environments throughout all the places that he's worked with regards to women and them not feeling comfortable. And so it's just like, what, Any one of those things would be far worse than anything that's going on with the Rockies making a trade you didn't like.
Or not making a trade. Right.
Yeah. Or not making a trade that you wanted them to. But to have all of those things going on at once. And I'm with you on the booing, man. Why are you booing your own team for anything other than a perceived lack of effort? Like, I've always thought that was strange. I called out Rockies fans when they did it to Ian Desmond, and I got in some hot water for that. And I said, look, do you want him to play better or not? Because this isn't helping.
We all get the disappointment. That's why I tried to analogize what happened last night in Fort Collins. I'm ticked off, and on Twitter, I said, hey, it's very disappointing because they there's no other way to describe it but embarrassing. But I'm not, I personally would never boo unless you saw as a fan just a blatant lack of effort. And you almost never see that with an athlete, especially an athlete really at any level. But beyond that, yeah, I get the disappointment. I understand when fans were pissed off with the Nolan deal. Absolutely understand that. Understand that people are still upset about it and upset that the team didn't build on 17 and 18 from their standpoint, that the team let DJ LeMahieu go. Bad move. Shouldn't have done it, right? It is also easy to Monday morning quarterback things. I do understand that as well. The Mets, and I think, Patrick, you had the perfect word there, the operative word in your synopsis of that situation a moment ago was secret. And the players should have been more secretive in what that meant. Said, oh, it's an inside thing. It's too hard to explain. And they could have probably kept doing it and it would have been their little thing. But once Javi Baez has been there for, 10 minutes, we're giving the thumbs down. I kind of talked about in my podcast, I won't regurgitate it here, about understanding the economic equation of why you make the money you make too. So now I'm not a big booer, but that comes with the territory. And in the case of myself and Patrick, we're from that area. And guess what? If you don't perform well and you play for a New York team or a Philadelphia team or a Boston team, a little edgier in the Northeast, and that comes with the paycheck. And you got to understand that. I may not like it. I may think it's, not super appropriate, but they have that right. Yeah. As a fan, they have that right, as long as it doesn't cross a line, certainly. And you better understand, if you're going to put your big boy pants on and pull a paycheck from the Mets or the Yankees or the football Giants or the Phillies or the Flyers or the Red Sox, guess what? You may get your ass booed. And if you can't deal with it, call your agent and try to find him some, mellower place in the country where if you have a tough day, they're not going to get after you.
Shoot, I think I may have been booed in Little League and in high school. I'm not sure, but that you just got to get used to it to a degree and go out there play and do better. That's it.
Right. I know. I've seen it. Yeah, at the amateur level, the high school level, I've seen it. Yeah, I mean, it's displaced anger, but it exists.
You bum? You get any of those? And you just – you bum?
No, it's the bum. D-A.
I did.
I'm trying.
I heard it. I heard it a few times, and on the car ride home, my dad and I, we had the conversation. I'm like, okay, Dad, you can't be calling me that. Here we are in public.
This was last Tuesday for Patrick.
No one went over 3 with 3 strikeouts, a little hat trick. But look, we all have a rough day.
He still calls me a bum, but he's listening to the podcast, so I can't hear him. But he'll tell me when we talk. So, no, my dad's a good fan.
Well, the best companion for booing and calling people bums is, of course, Breck Brew.
That was one of your more difficult transitions, but well done. Well played.
Did my best there. Enjoy your Breck Brew responsibly, though. Be nice and chill with it. Don't be screaming at people with it. Have a couple of Breck Brews with your baseball watching experience. You can get a much bigger one and come down to the DNVR bar. If you're a member of the family, subscribe today at the DNVR.com. You'll get access to all the written content, constant discounts on hats and shirts, you get to come hang out with us on our Discord channel, just a private chat room where we're talking baseball 24/7, all the other sports, movies, television, what's going on out there in the world in life, what you cooking, where you skiing and snowboarding these days, all kinds of stuff. It's a whole lot of fun. We'll also send you a free shirt when you sign up for the annual today. So don't delay. I know a lot of people out there have been meaning to re-up their subscriptions. Time to get it done. Go to thednvr.com and subscribe today.
Our golf chat too has been blowing up lately. We had a nice little tournament yesterday, in fact. Oh, yeah. So that golf one definitely gets a lot of activity too. If you need some tips or want some discount on some lessons and stuff like that, our community that we've got in the Discord is a lot of fun and helpful.
Yeah. Golf guys are fantastic. Also fantastic, Wagyu beef from Hassle Cattle Company. You know, it's my favorite. I just put in another order last night. You know why? Because I ran out. Because I ate all of the one that I got before. That's how it usually works. Order over $200 like I do, and you'll get free shipping. Use the promo code DNVR10. You'll get 10% off. And that Wagyu beef, I'm telling you, folks, really could change your life. It's absolutely delicious. Really, really good stuff. And it's better for you. It's better for the animal. No hormones, antibiotics, any of that garbage. Better for the environment, better for your wallet. Go and check them out. I am not lying to you. The promotional deals they've got there, you load up on ground beef, ground chuck, especially the way I do, you're going to be spending less getting better beef that's better for you than you do at the grocery store. There's no reason to buy beef at the grocery store anymore. Go to Hassle Cattle Company. It's HASSELLCattlecompany.com. Don't forget to use the promo code DMVR10. Just look at all the stuff they've got. They've won awards for the quality of their beef. And I think sometimes that scares people off. They go, oh, then it must be really, really expensive. They must be like $40 steaks or something like that. They got plenty of $10 steaks on there. They got plenty of ground beef, ground chuck at like $4.99, sometimes $3.99 a pound. Like, go and check them out. I cannot recommend them more highly. I've still gotten zero negative reviews on these guys. 100% positive reviews. HASSELLCattlecompany.com. All right, fellas, let's get into talking about last night's game, Colorado Rockies, with a heck of a couple of games here, honestly. You know, it was a good first game with the Braves coming back and getting that one. The Rockies take game two behind a pretty fantastic performance out of Antonio Senzatella, especially when considering what was his second pitch of the game, left the ball yard. And then after that, he manages just to cruise to seven very quality innings at Coors Field against this lineup, this Atlanta team. And Goody, we continue to see the Rockies, no matter who it is, play extraordinarily well at home.
Yes, and that's been the main question all of us receive quite a bit. I mean, I was visiting yesterday with Chip Carey and Frenchy, who does their broadcast for the Atlanta Braves, and Francoeur, by the way, Jeff Francoeur is Frenchy. I apologize. So
I don't know how that level of the press box can keep both Francoeur and Spielborgs together. I mean, those two in the same place. That well,
they're not because they're not traveling. You know, they're not traveling. So
that's true. That's right.
Traveling. So we had put a speakerphone. You know, I put him on speakerphone. It was kind of funny. If you guys were in there, you'd been laughing because we were on for about 20 minutes. Actually, both days we were comparing notes and stuff, but it got sideways at times. Anyhow, you know, the main question, though, when we're serious, and I get this all the time, is how can the Rockies be so much better pitching? Forget the record. Pitching at home versus out on the road. And that trend again continued last night, as you alluded to, where Senzatella was great. I mean, he gave up the home run to Ozzie Albies, and then he really, against a tough lineup, man, really good lineup. And he tamed them more or less for seven innings. And I think he's throwing the baseball better than he ever has. And for me, it's pretty simple. And we discussed this at the top of the AT&T broadcast last night, is the slider. I mean, his slider has depth to it. It is, as opposed to a below average offering, it is now an above average offering, and the consistency of it is outstanding. So, you know, he's really made, I think, a nice stride here forward, which will be exciting going into next year. I mean, we've seen him good before, and then we see some uneven ones, and it's kind of, you know, he looks like a back of the rotation guy, where some good, some not so good, you know, a lot in between. But we're seeing a lot of, you know, pretty good outings from Senzatella of late.
Yeah, over his last seven starts, 3.30 ERA. And even if you think you throw out the previous one, he's closer to like a 2.5 ERA. And that's all since he came back from the IL. You know, he was banged up there right around the All-Star break. And so he just keeps getting, you know, stronger and stronger. And the home run he did give up was his first in 2 months, right? He hadn't given one up since that Cardinal series at the beginning of July. And I love that when he was asked about it, he pulled off the top of his head. He's like, ah, yes, I went to Goldschmidt. Like, he remembered, you know, the last one, because it had been so long. And so that's a huge stat, just the ability to not give up the long ball. But I think he's also been reducing his amount of walks too, which is, I think, also, you know, one of those underrated stats for pitchers, is just giving those free passes, especially since the game has been all about three true outcomes. You know, you can rack up a bunch of strikeouts, but if you're walking a batter and then giving up a home run, shoot, that can be two runs every single inning. So I think that's been another thing, is just his overall command of the strike zone, I think, has been key for his success as of late.
Yeah, he has a sub 2.0 walks per nine innings, which is outstanding, especially, as you point out, if you're going to pitch half your ball games at Coors Field. So, yeah, you know what? So he gives up a solo home run to Ozzie Albies. The old line about solo home runs typically aren't going to beat you. You can't add traffic. It's been an issue for the bullpen the last several years. Yeah. You know, at times, certain guys in the rotation. Senz has been great, man. Been really good to see.
As a lot of you know, I've been sort of obsessed with the history of the Rockies and the ERA plus and OPS plus and these, like, who's doing what. And you look at the history of the Rockies, it's a short list of guys who have 5 years pitching in Colorado with an ERA plus over league average. And they're all the names you would think when you think, who are the Rockies pitchers who've managed it? All right. Let's throw them in. It's Aaron Cook, Jorge De La Rosa, Pedro Astacio. Jimenez didn't stick around long enough. He dominated, but he didn't stick around long enough. And now you're starting to add Marquez and Gray. So those are the guys we know, right? And they tend to be, but Antonio Senzatella is about to put up his fourth year of doing that already at age 26. He's been 108. He had a down year in 2019 with the 77. He had a great year in 2020 with the 152, and he's at a 114 right now. So going into his age 27, he's likely to be able to join that list of guys. And again, you don't think of Senzatella in that class, and you shouldn't. He's not Pedro Astacio or Aaron Cook or Jorge De La Rosa yet. But in terms of his consistency, at least his floor has kept him at, you know, at the very least, you're not going to get. And then when he does stuff like he did last night, and you start talking about he can add and maybe he can join that category of Rockies pitcher in history. But for people thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense. He can't be. He's already closer to those guys than you might think.
Yeah. And the other thing I really like that's so important, the line about, the greatest ability is availability. In the case of Herman, in the case of Antonio, who we're talking about, Senzatella, I'm not saying they haven't missed. Well, you know, Herman never misses, it seems like, but they're built well. I mean, knock on wood, they answer the bell every fifth day, and they have kept that rotation intact now going on, 4 years running, basically, more or less. And that's why, again, we've had this discussion, the three of us, before, and I've done it on my deal as well. It gives you legitimate hope for next year if you can add a couple of pieces, because the strength of the team is the rotation. And part of that strength, it has been, again, I knock on wood, has been their durability.
Yeah. This is the other stat that I want to throw out. I just tweeted this before we came on here from the DMVR Rockies account. But since May 12th, here are the teams that have won series at Coors Field. The Rockies, they've won 9 of them. The Dodgers have won a series at Coors Field. And the Oakland A's have won a series at Coors Field.
That's a good one. Since when is that? Since mid-May or late May?
May 12th. Yeah. May 12th. So there was a series right before that. They split with Cincinnati. Do I still have the schedule up here? Yeah. So they split the four game set with Cincinnati. And before that, you only have to add San Diego got them once, the Giants got them once, and then the Dodgers have another one, the opening series. So that's it this year. They lost to the Dodgers twice at Coors Field. San Francisco, San Diego, and Oakland. But those were all early in the year. It's only Oakland and LA that have gotten them since the middle of May. They have not been swept at home. The Rockies have not been swept at home.
No, it's been a that's why we love baseball, because, you know, next year the three of us will be chatting and there'll be some other weird thing that is a continuing trend, and you go, boy, would you have ever thought that, right?
Right.
And one of the strange things about this season clearly is this is a dominant, not just, hey, they're much better at home or they're pretty decent at home. No, they've been dominant at home. The record suggests that. It's the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Colorado Rockies, the best record in baseball in their own ballpark. And on the road, you know, it's been miserable. It's been tough. It's been better. I'll say this. It's been better. But, every year, you know, produces different storylines.
It's one of the reasons why I went out on a little bit of a limb for this weekend and actually thought that the Rockies would win three games against Atlanta, because every four-game series that they've had, and I mentioned a couple times on the pod, so I'll keep it brief, of every four-game series that they've had this season, they've improved, right? They only won one against the Dodgers, and then from there, they split with the Reds, but they played really well. They just blew those games. Brewers took two out of four, played better, didn't blow the games, but didn't look as bad, so to speak. Against the Cardinals, they played really well, and we're kind of just seeing again this general progression of them getting better and stronger and kind of learning, because they've got a very inexperienced team. They got some great leaders on the club, but they're inexperienced. And I think as the season goes along, they're learning from their mistakes, and we're seeing it because of the improvement on the road, and it actually has translated to a slightly better record, and we're seeing a continued dominance at home. So I said, you know what? I don't know how they're going to do it exactly. And I don't know how they're going to do it against this first place Atlanta team that is surging and has six different players that have hit 20 or more home runs in their lineup. And that's not even including Jock Peterson with 16. They think they're going to take three out of four just because, you know what? There's some things we just can't explain, but they've been very consistent. Rockies dominating at home.
Yeah. It's been fun. I tell you what, I was really excited as both you guys were with this whole homestand, because you're facing a really good Braves team, a Braves team that's been coming together. I know they had a little bit of a rough ride coming in, but they're playing really good teams. And then you had, you know, you have the Giants coming in after they're playing a huge, you know, backyard brawl with the Dodgers. I watched the end of that game.
I was going to say, what an end to a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Turner has basically a routine play, and he fires a little bit high, and that ends up being the difference in the baseball game as the Giants prevail. But I was really looking forward to this homestand because two good teams, and though the Rockies don't fall in the classification of either of those teams yet, at home, they do. And listen, Brian Snitker said it when they arrived. He said, this is going to be tough. Yeah. Because the Rockies are really good at home. It's going to be tough. And believe me, Gabe Kapler knows that with the Giants. So it's been fun so far, 2-1 run games as we chat today. And I look for more really good baseball over the next several days. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, our GM down at the DNVR bar, I'm going to out him a little bit here, Darren. He's a Philly guy. He's a Philly sport. I mean, he's pulling for all our Colorado sports because he has to now. But he's a big Phillies guy. And, you know, the Phillies are on the schedule, but the Rockies are going there. So we were kind of talking about it, and they're getting back into it. He was saying, oh, man, you guys are playing better. I'm a little worried, but thank God we got you in Philly, because if we had to come here, we get creamed. We can't compete with the Rockies at home right now, because he watches, you know, we've got at the bar, everything's on, he sees it all, and he goes, he goes out to Coors Field and goes, they can't, they're so good here. Like, yeah,
they're good. And we'll see, you know, the month of September is always a crapshoot, and the Rockies rotation, we were just talking about it, has stayed intact. And I think you're going to see something happen going forward that's twofold in nature. One, you're going to see Buddy back off his main guys because, you know, the Rockies aren't a playoff team, and there's no point in having the Herman Marcuses of the world and the Senzatellas and the Freelands throw a million bullets in the month of September. Get everybody a little bit of work. Let them go into the offseason healthy. They're coming off a year in which it was an abbreviated season. There's been much written and spoken about that. And so you want to avoid injury, and there's no point in continuing to beat up on those arms. So you're going to see other guys get an opportunity, and you're going to see, I think tomorrow, a guy make his major league debut on the mound. I'll just leave it at that. That will be, I think, also a continuing theme through the month of September. So we'll see with, you know, some of these other guys getting opportunities, how it plays out in terms of the one loss column at home, where, again, as we've been talking about, the Rockies have been outstanding.
That's an excellent little tease there. I have to ask this because, well, we didn't have you on the pod this time last year, and 2020 was just a blur. As a guy who calls these games and knows what it's like when there's, you know, 15 pitching changes and all these double switches, how do you feel about that, about the new 28-man roster versus saying, hey, you can have just about any and everybody on the 40-man roster? Is that a good number? Would you like it to see it expand? Because here for the Rockies, you only have so much room to maybe, you know, get some of these younger players and have those debuts to see what you've got to rest some of the veterans. Would you like to see that number increase to 30, or you think 28 might be about right during this time?
Oh, I will say this. I certainly wouldn't want it beyond 30. I like where it is now because there's some teams that would have, you know, 40 guys in the dugout. And I'll tell you this much. The players, the veteran players, don't really like that. There's so many ways one could go with this topic. And, you know, from a player standpoint, especially if you're in it, all of a sudden, you know, there's less room to move around. I know that sounds kind of, you know, really, is that a big deal? But yeah, you know, sometimes you get used to your routine, and then the clubhouse is more populated there. And so I know some veteran guys that, you know, why are we bringing all these guys up? These guys aren't going to play. We're in contention, that sort of thing. I do understand it from a young player standpoint and a developmental standpoint. You get a guy who's now around the big leagues. He gets a feel for big league travel, big league clubhouse, big league ball games, you know, how to act, how to respond. And then when they get their opportunity, even if they're few and far between, at least they're getting their feet wet. So I understand, you know, both sides of it. Now, from my standpoint, not just as a broadcaster, but as somebody that, like you guys, watches the game exceptionally closely, I think that it's the only sport where you play under one set of rules for 5 months, and then in the most important month, arguably, of the year, you're going to play under a different set of rules.
Yeah.
Should it not be, even in the postseason, guys, you know, when there's multiple days off, did you not get to where you are maybe because you had greater depth than the next best opponent? And then that depth is thrown aside because the fourth and fifth guy in the rotation, well, they're not going to really pitch because there's no need to. There's enough off days that we only need three guys in the rotation. Same thing is, oh, okay, so you brought up, you know, the 36th guy in your bench, you know, is Usain Bolt, so we're going to have a pinch run. Oh, but right. he wouldn't be in the big league. So right. I do have a little bit of an issue, and that's why I, to Patrick's original question, I do like that it's two extra bodies. It's not 10 extra bodies.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that.
Yeah. I think I'm there. I do think I'd like to see it go up to 30 just because I feel like you could get a, like, two extra guys doesn't feel like very, it's like you get a bat, you get an arm. maybe get two arms, you know, even just kind of, we were talking about the Rockies situation this year, and I can see a guy like you went through all the, you know, possible positives, and I sort of talked about Ryan Vallade or Colton Welker, these guys who are maybe not quite ready to jump in and contribute, but are certainly on the doorstep, could use the experience of maybe just being around, seeing what it's like. They're really going to be competing for jobs next year. And there may not be room for those guys under the current system because, you know, you've only got the two. And I think they're probably going to go with arms, and it's the better way to go. But I think if you had those extra couple of spots, that'd be nice. But, yeah, I definitely prefer this to the – I'm with you there. To the 40 was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, true, Patrick, I do think that the other end of getting guys to the big leagues and seeing what you have will be addressed in this upcoming CBA, where instead of manipulating service time in that first month so you keep players from gaining arbitration a year early, that's going to be addressed, and it should be. So there's going to be some uniformity, I'm guessing, to that. In that, you know, that's fine. A kid can start on April 1st and it's not going to affect when he becomes arbitration eligible. And certainly from the Players Association standpoint, they want guys, you know, making larger buckets of money sooner. So that will be an issue that will be, I would assume, heavily debated behind closed doors, and there'll be some sort of resolution.
Hope so. In fact, I'll maybe even bet on there will be some sort of resolution, and I'll take that bet to DraftKings, damn it. I'm going straight there. I'm putting down my money on DraftKings Sportsbook. There's going to be a lot. I wish you could kind of bet on, like, what's going to be in the next CBA, because somebody asked me on Twitter the other day about universal DH, because we were talking about what the Rockies are going to do next year. I said, I think Chuck becomes your DH, so I'm looking at free agent outfielders. And I said, you really think that's going to happen? I said, yeah, if I look at this, I'm not so sure about the DH coming.
It's like minus 700. Like, yeah. You got to bet a lot to win a little USDA. Bit. It should be coming.
About as sure of that one as I can be. So if you're sure of things in the future, or again, about as sure as you can be, definitely hop on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's a whole lot of fun. Sometimes you can even make some extra bit of money. I mean, if you're really good at it, lots of times, presumably. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code DNVR to get your free $200 in bets instantly. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Also, don't forget that if you're looking for work, you could not do better than our friends at Ball Corporation. You know them, you love them, you've seen all the great work they've been doing in the Colorado community for years. You've seen that they just got the naming rights to where the Avs and Nuggets play now out there at Ball Arena. But if you're looking for some work, man, are they just the best possible option, no matter who you are, whether you're excited that they're supported by groups like the Society of Women Engineers, or you just want to work in a beautiful place. Maybe you care a great deal about the environment. Fact that the Human Rights Campaign has given them a Corporate Equality Index score of 100%. Maybe you just want to make really good money and have all kinds of fair opportunities for advancement. Well, this all adds together at, basically, you got to text GOLDEN to 77222 right now. You'll get linked to open positions out there at their plant. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN. It's jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN, or simply text GOLDEN to 77222.
Mark asking, any chance Welker gets a taste? Again, I hope so. I'd like to, you know, we'll see some of these guys. We're going to find out here pretty soon what the Rockies are going to do. I'm going to presume extra spots are going to arms for now, for all the reasons Goody was talking about earlier. You need to keep those arms fresh. They've also had more guys who are a little more dinged up, either in the rotation or in the bullpen, where their position players right now are pretty healthy. And you can even argue, you know, you're still looking for ways to get Hampson and Hilliard and those guys in there.
True statement on Hampson and Hilliard, but Connor Joe pulled his hamstring last night.
Oh, right. Which totally sucks, obviously.
It sucks because I was enjoying his at-bats as everybody else was, maybe more than anyone's. And going forward, there have to be more players in the lineup that have Connor Joe's approach, which is a Dodger-like approach with results, not just, you know, swinging at strikes and letting balls pass and taking your walks, but, you know, he's impacting the baseball when he takes swings. And, you know, he's been one of the great revelations for the Rockies in 2021. And I would argue one of the better stories in all of baseball, but we all know back of the leg injury is not going to heal overnight. We'll learn more today, but I would be, you know, I'm hopefully plays again this year, but if he didn't, I mean, that goes along with, you know, hamstring and calf injuries. So we'll see. It may open up an opportunity for a couple of the aforementioned or one of the aforementioned players.
Yeah, Buddy said it was probably in that timeline. He didn't think last night, at least, it was a season ender.
But
it looks like it could be.
You don't know.
Yeah, we'll have a better idea today. Fingers crossed. We know what we hope, right?
Let me ask you a question. When why am I doing a blank? Who's the angel? Oh, Joe Maddon. When Joe Maddon was asked about Mike Trout in May, he said, "Well, it's not a good one, man. It's going to be a little bit, right?" On September 4th, Joe Maddon thought Mike Trout wasn't going to be in his lineup because of the same injury, and it would not have played since then, and won't play again in 2021. With a calf strain, those back, they're no joke, man. They're no joke.
I think I just blanked it out because I was in denial and didn't want to believe it because Connor Joe's story has been so good this year, and that really does suck. So you just got to get him healthy and like you said, back for next year. But, yeah, that could open up some opportunities for some other guys trying to prove themselves, and we'll find out. But yeah, and obviously, I mean, we all agree about the at-bats. I sent out a tweet yesterday asking people, you know, just take a current Rockies hitter in the situation. It's the bottom of the ninth. Rockies, I think I said tied game. Runners at second and third, one out. Who do you want at the plate? And Connor Joe was as popular an answer as anybody right now. A lot of Charlie, a lot of CJ Cron because he was just player of the month. It's like hard to not take CJ Cron right this instant. But a lot of people are just saying, I just got to get one run in right here. I just need somebody to not have a bad at bat, basically. Taking Connor Joe in a heartbeat.
Legitimately. And he may be number one. Charlie, you know, was 2 for 25. He hit the grand slam. Ended up having a good ball game, clearly. And then last night he had a nice ball game. You know, he's always going to give you a professional at bat. So that's never a poor choice. I like Brendan Rodgers. You can't, you know, CJ's had, you know, a great second half, obviously an otherworldly August. But Connor Joe, at bat to at bat, it's not, yeah, most of them are pretty good, man. No, all of them are good. They all result in a hit. He punches out a little bit. I mean, not a lot, but, you know, that's baseball. But I'm with you. I'm with you, Connor Joe.
I'm still taking Manuel Tapia, but everyone knows I'm biased.
Taking who?
I'm putting Tap to roll one over to second base and tie the ball game. I got a 90% confidence that Manuel Tapia can put the ball in play.
In that situation where it's less than two outs and a runner at third, you know, Tap's going to put it in play.
But at least put the ball.
You know, in terms of a more impactful type of at bat, you know, not nothing
100%.
You know, Ronel, but I would take Connor Joe.
And right now, I have a lot of confidence in Elias Diaz. Also, I'd probably throw him in just underneath that tier. But to your point, Drew Kreisman, you know, if Dan Uggla is the second baseman in this scenario that you're making up, I'm putting Tapia at the top of my list to roll one over to second base. So I
roll one over. Baby.
The name comes in my head because the one thing I love doing in the press box is looking down. And Goody, I don't know if you do this, but looking all the different jerseys that come out to the ballpark and trying to find like the most obscure one. And so we see some Smoltz for Atlanta fans. I saw an Uggla one for Atlanta last night. I go, okay, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. I unfortunately have the luxury of doing that, but that's a great one. And we should do a little thing when I'm on with you guys, I'll ask you, I'll go, all right, give me, what's the most obscure jersey of the week?
Would you see this week? Yeah.
So Dan Uggla is a nice one, man. I love that. In fact, I'm going to remind me to ask you each week. I say, all right, Patrick, what do we got, man? Most obscure jersey.
I do love when it's a player that you forgot. The only time I see it is if our director cuts to one.
Oh wow, there's a Jim Hickman jersey, Chicago Cubs jersey. And you're like, whoa, that takes you back a little bit.
But I did see a Jason Giambi jersey. It was a white one too, so I thought that was nice. That's a good deep cut. That's kind of rare. And then I did see two Gilbreth jerseys subsequently at the end of the game, and they met with Lucas. So I think that's family. But I'm gonna count it. I'm gonna count it.
The best one I saw this year. It was after, I want to say it was after opening day. I went to grab a bite in Lodo with a couple of my boys, and I see three people in a Sheffield, I mean, full-on jersey. And I'm like, okay, there's no way that they're selling at the dugout store yet Jordan Sheffield jerseys. The guy's been a Rocky for like 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And so you know what it is. It's the family. And I went over there and, chatted with them. And it was super nice family, great family, good baseball family, obviously. But yeah, they were in town to watch one of, the parents were there, and an uncle was there, and little brother was there. And so it was pretty neat. But I was like, damn, they got Jordan Sheffield jerseys already.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, since we're sort of rubbing up against baseball history and fun facts and talk and all of that, it is the 28th anniversary, Goody, of the no-hitter, maybe the unlikeliest no-hitter in Major League Baseball history, because it was thrown by a man who was born without a right hand, the one and only Jim Abbott.
That was today, huh?
Yeah. So what do you when you think of that, and do you think of that moment or the career when you hear the name Jim Abbott? What are just the reactions?
Well, first of all, my initial thought is I have the Wolverines up 27-7 against Western Michigan on television right now, and Jim Abbott was a Michigan man, right?
Yeah.
Team USA baseball as well, right?
He was great. He obviously got to the big league, so we know he was great. But what he did was remarkable defensively, and he had a great left arm. I mean, he was really good. This was, there's a lot of guys. You guys know the history so well, and there have been a lot of guys that fate was in their hip pocket on a given day, and some obscure or journeyman type pitchers through a no-hitter. And you can go down that list of all the all-time no-hitters, and you go, oh, well, there's a Hall of Famer. Boy, I remember him. He was really good. Boy, never heard of him. Don't remember him. Oh, yeah, vaguely remember him. In the case of Jim Abbott, to me, does not fall into the class of journeyman where, the baseball gods smiled on him one day. He had legit top-shelf stuff, and so you could see him twirling as he did a no-hitter. What makes it such a beautiful story is, he has to flip his glove on to his left hand immediately after he delivers it. And we know how scary that position is defensively. Even last night, remember there was a line drive, I think it was last night, right? There was a line drive through the box that the pitcher had to duck and get out of the way. So I think it was Enoa, right? Yeah, it was Enoa who had to duck. Anyhow, that was a great day. And for those that don't know in your audience, do a little homework on Jim Abbott and maybe look up some old video of Jim Abbott and how he got the glove so quickly, the transition he made. Really remarkable.
Yeah, it's almost surprising that he isn't more prominent in, it's just sports culture in America as this symbol of, perseverance and figuring out how to do something, as you said, that transition to put the glove on the left hand. And then when he would field the ball, he would still be able to get it over to first base with relative ease. And if you weren't paying attention, you might not even notice it, right? Yeah. Did have two career base hits with the Milwaukee Brewers.
I was going to say that.
You got to love that.
Blows my mind as much as throwing the no hitters, a guy getting three ribbies, guy throwing out RBI hits with one hand.
Yeah.
And I'll say this that I've never mentioned. I was actually at the game the day before.
Really?
The day before, which means nothing.
Your timing, yes. Patrick, I've got to know you over the last several years, is impeccable.
Amazing.
One day off. One day.
Yeah.
Jim Abbott finished third in Cy Young voting in 1991. He pitched 243 innings. We don't do that anymore. With a 2.89 ERA, you could argue he was even better the next year in 1992, where he didn't receive any Cy Young votes. Not sure what was going on in 92. Well, he had a bad record. It was a win. He was only 7-15, but he had a 2.77 ERA, a 1.43 ERA plus, 211 innings pitched, a career ERA over 10 years of 4.25.
Yeah, and look, as you said, look at some of his, top years, 2.77, sub 3 ERA. Come on, that's great stuff. By the way, because I want to give more shit to Patrick's here. So, you know, also that he was in the convenience store the day after somebody won like $150 million, one of those,
the next lottery ticket.
He's getting the next one.
Yeah. In my book, that was the biggest piece of information you've shared today. Not someone making their debut. Yeah. It was that. Wow. That I'm not going to forget that story.
Yeah. Well played.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. What a career. Should be talked about more. I assume there's a documentary out there. I don't know if there's a great, big, widely celebrated, well-known one, and there should be. I don't know who I'm. Someone make a Jim Abbott documentary, please. I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe there is and we missed it. I mean, there's so much stuff out there in the universe now, but if there is not, to your point, what a wonderful story. What's he doing now? Do you have his like Wikipedia page up?
I got Baseball Reference up. So what is he doing these days? Yeah. He's 53. That's all I got. He's drafted in the 36th round by the Toronto Blue Jays in the 1985 MLB draft.
That was out of high school, right?
Yeah.
What was he drafted out of? Michigan. He was the first
one. He goes to Michigan. And then he drafted by the California Angels in the first round with the 8th overall pick. So
yeah. Think about their draft room, fellas. I mean, that's the 8th pick in the draft. And they go, all right, you know what? This guy's so dominant. Yeah, we've been watching and we know he has one hand, but I'm all in, right?
Yeah. Talk about
And it worked out. And it worked out. Worked out well.
Yeah, he's a motivational speaker. I can vaguely remember hearing something about that. And I mean, that's a fantastic speech. I think all of us would love to hear for sure.
I feel motivated already.
I feel motivated to track him down and see if, you know, we can get him on a podcast, right? That'd be fun.
Right. We got to do it. He's got to be. I mean, because, yeah, it really is. And it's not just the no-hitter. That's why I'm glad we took a little extra time today, because I think people go, oh, yeah, a guy with one hand threw a no-hitter. What an interesting footnote in the history of baseball. And it's like, no, a guy who was born without one of his hands had an extraordinary Major League Baseball career. Right.
Like, hey, speaking of guys with handicaps, did Mordecai Three Finger Brown throw a no-hitter back in the first part of the 20th century?
You would think that's
not true. Look at Kreisman, his eyes watered over. That's so excited. That you could share that next week.
I've heard that name before. I'm sure it was on the Ken Burns documentary.
Are you referring to Mordecai Centennial Brown? That was his middle name, don't forget, as he was born in 1876.
I did not know that.
There you go. I think he was born, I believe, with all five fingers. I think he might have been born with almost like four and a half, and then he lost one in like a wood chipper. And so that's that's kind of where he was. I would think he probably did throw a no-hitter during his time, but yeah, Three Finger Brown is another good one. Pete Gray, he's another one. He during World War II was a one-armed outfielder. I believe for the St. Louis Browns. So
yeah,
there's a lot of ball players who have persevered over time, and I'm looking forward to seeing what brings the next generation of ball players, because I think there's been a groundswell in the last few years of creating a lot more opportunities for a lot more people, of a lot more races and a lot other genders too, to play baseball. I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think that's maybe one of the places where, you know, baseball can grow and have an opportunity to see, you know, some growth and some more diversity in the game.
Absolutely. Well put. I'm looking at Mordecai, Three Finger Brown. But anyhow.
All right, let's wrap this one up with some final thoughts on the homestand here. Rocky's playing well. Oh, I should know who's pitching and stuff. Let me bring it up really fast. We got Marquez v. Anderson tonight. It'll be Gomber v. Morton in
Maybe.
It's listed as Gomber v. Morton, though we've heard potentially other things have been floated on this here very show. And then they're off. Well, not off. They're staying. San Francisco comes to town. I had the split here with Atlanta and the Rockies beating the Giants. I think Patrick had it the other way around with three wins against Atlanta and one against the Giants. But Goody, just for the rest of this homestand, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to continually watching good baseball as we've watched the first two games of this series. I mean, Atlanta's a fun team to watch, man. They got thump up and down that lineup, one of the most powerful lineups in baseball. They made, again, as you guys know, a lot of changes around the trade deadline. I mean, Jock Peterson's there, and the Rockies have thrown, you know, two right-handers, and he just has one pinch hitting appearance. That's how deep they are. You know, Austin Riley's a name that a lot of people probably didn't know, and they're finding out, wow, look at this guy's stats. I mean, they literally had MVP candidates in Acuna, who, you know, has the ACL injury, and they hope to have him back by the beginning of next year. Freddie Freeman, who's put together an MVP season after his tough start. You got a great young, you know, player in Ozzie Albies, but you have another MVP candidate in Austin Riley. So it's fun watching the Rockies compete against the Braves. And the same thing, man, when the Giants roll to town, what a year they've had. And they're in the, I mean, every game counts. It's not, I said this on the air, it's not like, okay, you're playing the White Sox and they can, you know, give everybody a couple of days off if they want because they're so far out in front. Or Milwaukee, they're so far out in front, it doesn't matter in the NL Central. But with these teams that are coming in, man, they're huge games every night, and it makes for a good atmosphere. Plus, I love watching good games, period. I like watching good talent, right?
Yeah. That's what we've been getting out of the Rockies at home and whoever they've been playing. I like this comment from Mark. If they're going to lose, I prefer they do it to the Giants just so they can help in the fight against the Dodgers. You got to love Rockies fans, man. That's solid logic, Mark. I can't argue with that.
Although
we're not going to win them all.
Huh? I still think I think the Dodgers will end up winning that division.
Dodgers got it.
Three or four games.
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right. And it's too bad because the Giants have had such a fun year.
But you never know. Why you? Hey, here's one for you guys. I'll leave you with this one. It's why you play the games.
Mm.
How about that?
There it is. They don't play them on paper.
Did I originate that line? Can I
take I think credit for that? Should trademark that. It's good.
Some people do play the game on paper, though, Drew, believe it or not. That's how they decide who wins the World Series or not. But
they've got it figured out. The rest of us will watch the baseball games. We know all you out there are going to be doing that, watching on AT&T Sportsnet tonight. Don't forget to go and listen to the Drew Goodman podcast. Now that this show is over, go and listen to that on your podcast app that you got going on. But make sure you're watching these baseball games because, as we've said, they've been great. You can chat with us on social media all about them at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at Drew Goodman 42. You can subscribe to the DNVR.com and then get access to our Discord channel. So we're always talking baseball 24/7, also anything and everything else under the sun. And we'll send you a free shirt. You know how the whole situation goes at this point. other than that, we can only thank you all for listening to this episode and continuing to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We promise to continue being absolutely Patrick Lyons, Drew Kreisman, and Drew Goodman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.